I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Lights. Camera. Action. It's the KSL Movie Show.
It gave the audience feelings they weren't sure they should enjoy.
The week's big movie review, movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
Like a slice of butter, melon on top of a big old pile of flapjacks.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome to another episode of The Movie Show. I'm the slice of butter. Steve is the,
hot
stack of flapjacks.
I could live with that.
And together, we make a delicious treat, we hope, for your listening pleasure here on The Movie Show on KSL News Radio. We're coming to you live today from My Hearing Centers, and we'll be talking with Matt Deering in just a little bit later. But, Steve, we've got a lot of movies. I had some strong reactions to some of the stuff we had to watch this week, and I was there was a lot of things where I felt, why? Like, I watched the movie, and I was like, this was going, and then why did they include this, or why did they choose to do that in the movie, which, you know, kind of takes away what could have been a more potentially enjoyable experience.
Yeah, there were a lot of third act oopsies this week. I kept thinking, really? This is where you want to go?
And there was one movie where I finished it, and I was like, I have no idea what just happened at the end.
It feels like, I know what movie you're talking about.
I bet you do.
And it feels like there's a couple reels missing.
Maybe. Like, I had to rewind several scenes from this same movie. Thankfully, I could stream it at home because I'm like, what is happening? Let me rewind that. I got to watch that again. And I feel for somebody who sees this in the theaters. But we'll get to all of that. But we welcome you as you get ready for the weekend. We love having you with us. We want you to join in with the movie show by texting us your thoughts at 57500. We'll have a movie show text question for you in our next segment that we want to chime in. But we would invite you to be a member of the Movie Show Club by texting the word movie to 57500. And then you can find out all the cool stuff that we do on the movie show, including telephone torture and things like that. But all right, Steve, let's get started, though, with the movie show preview sponsored by Call Climate Services.
The following preview has been rated G and is appropriate for all audiences. The Movie Show special feature.
We've got six movies that are going to be out, plus five or six series that we could potentially talk about today.
So, and if they all run together, you'll understand why. Like, yeah. Supermodels jumping into the Continental, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and if it all runs together, then you'll know how we felt this week trying to keep on top of all of it.
It's weird when your expectations are so low and they are met, and then you just end up giggling. I was giggling.
Sometimes that's a good thing.
Well, yeah. If it's so bad that it's good.
Yes. Well, I don't know if I got one that was so bad that it's good, but some that were in the kind of so bad territory. All right, well, so our big movie of the week that we'll review soon is Expendables 4, or is it Expend 4 Bulls?
I see what you did.
Because literally everything they've marketed this movie with is Expend 4 Bulls.
I read a thing where a guy says, my autocorrect went completely insane this week when I had to write a review of, I can't even say it. I'm just going to call them indispensable.
Incredibles, indestructibles. What is it?
I will have every name except the actual one.
Forgettables. Ooh, burn. All right, so Expendables 4. We've got on streaming, we've got the movie Spy Kids Armageddon, which returns Robert Rodriguez, the original creator, to the role, but with new parents and new kids.
Yeah, and they were cute.
Zachary Levi and Gina Rodriguez.
Yeah.
And then we've got, let's see, The Retirement Plan.
Oh, Nick Cage, where have you been? Oh, wait.
Oh, he's been in lots of things this year. He didn't go anywhere.
He's got this ridiculous mop wig that I just love, Nick. I'm sorry, but even though the movie is so stupid. Go ahead.
All right, how about It Lives Inside?
Well, talk about it. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, that gives it away right at the beginning, doesn't it?
Kind of. It's ethnically interesting in that it's about a culture, culture from India, and their demons and how they go about dealing with them. So that was kind of cool.
Now, that title could also be a subheading for No One Will Save You. Once you've seen the movie, that will make sense. But No One Will Save You.
Boy, you got to hand it to Caitlin Dever. Just swinging away, man. She was in there just to win it.
This one's going to be the most fun movie to talk about this week, I believe. First of all, because we both saw it, and I wasn't able to get to Expendables 4. But there is so much in this one. Oh, boy. Then we've got Dumb Money.
Yeah, this one trickled out. We're not the select theater of the, you know when they throw them out there and it's like eight.
Right.
We managed to hit the, we're up. We got Dumb Money.
Dumb Money, which is the story of the GameStop stock hold deal thing that went on back in 2021, this time with Paul Dano in the lead. Okay, so those are the movies that we have. On streaming, we've got a new series on Peacock called The Continental, which is from the world of John Wick. But let me just tell you right now, there is no John Wick in this at all.
This is all pre-John Wick.
Pre-John Wick. It is the story of Winston, the guy played by Ian McShane in the movies.
Who I love.
Yes. But Ian McShane is not. Well, it wasn't in the first episode anyway. We'll get to all that. The episodes are long. We've got Still Up on Apple TV Plus, which I did get to see the first three episodes that dropped today.
I call it Sleepless in Sussex.
That's good. That's clever. The Saint of Second Chances on Netflix. Did you get a chance
to watch
that?
By the way, is it weird that I kind of dozed off during Still Up?
Well, it would be ironic in that the characters are insomniacs, so kind of. They're probably jealous of you.
I thought, maybe you should watch your own series. It's not disparaging, but that was...
We need to get the sound effect from Trolls of that one troll that goes, oh, anytime there's a good burner line. Did you get to see Song of the Band? Oh, wait, did you see Saint of Second Chances?
I did, yes.
You did get to it. Okay, and then how about Song of the Bandits? Did you get to that one?
I did not.
Okay, so we'll forget about that one. How about the Supermodels?
I watched some of the Supermodels and got as much as I needed. I just can't. I can't do it.
That's okay.
They're lovely young women, older women now. I couldn't, for the life of me, figure out who the fourth one was, and then they just put their first names, and I'm like, okay, who could it be?
Oh, you didn't know Christy? Or the other one?
Linda. Yeah, exactly. I'm like,
Cindy, of course you'd know. So those are all of our shows that we'll have today on The Movie Show. That, of course, plus Telephone Torture, The Movie Show Top 10, and I do think we're going to – we actually have some excerpts of an interview I did with Charlie Hunnam last week.
Love Charlie.
He'll be at FanX, and we'll be talking about FanX and some things. As we're going to bring some FanX love to The Movie Show after many years of curmudgeonly dismissing it.
How dare you.
We're going to give it some love. So that's all coming up on today's movie show.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, the big movie review. Andy and Steve have everything your family needs to know about the biggest release of the week.
All right, Steve. The big movie review, sponsored by Paris RV. But right before we give the big movie review, which is Expendables, we want to know this is what you want to text us at 57500. What is your favorite action movie from anyone who has been in the Expendables franchise, which pretty much covers everyone from the 1980s, 90s, and today.
Yeah.
But, so, tell us who the person is that you loved best in the Expendables franchise, and what's your favorite action movie that they have starred in? Because they have been in others, guaranteed, or they wouldn't have been in Expendables.
I can't think of any other Stallone movies, though.
Wow. I love...
No one? Really? Crickets?
What other action movies has he been in?
Stallone? All right, you just fed me my own line back at me.
Yeah, I am pretty young, Steve, after all. So.
Oh, that's true.
I didn't know he was in anything before Expendables and Creed.
And Rocky 7.
Oh, wait, there was a Rocky franchise before Creed? What?
Ah, there we go.
All right, so let's get some sound from Expendables 4.
Hey, why are you here?
I got this situation where I need your help.
I need bad friends.
Was that the new guy?
Is that Sniper?
Don't worry about it. I got a prescription scope.
Well, Hawkeye, remember this face. Don't shoot it by accident.
Terrorists have taken possession of nuclear missiles on a cargo ship off the coast. If these babies go off, it'll be World War III.
Take cover!
All right.
Is it weird that I just giggled the whole night through watching this movie? And I call it Indefensibles.
Indefensibles, okay. Indefensible in that...
Well, it's so dumb. So dumb.
Okay. So let's set our expectations at that level.
Okay,
to start.
Well, here's the first thing that was cool. Statham and Stallone have a kind of a fun little chemistry. You know, you're an idiot. You know, ruggedly handsome, shut up, you know, all that stuff. And yet...
Do they bro hug?
No. But they have a bro ring that they hang out with.
Oh, dear goodness.
And Statham is dating Megan Fox. I looked up the numbers, and she's quite young compared to he is older, which is fine. But anyway, they're a couple. But she is one of the leaders now in the Expendables. Oh, darn it, I said it. I wasn't
going to. He wasn't going to say Expendables even once during
but
the
But this
review.
Is really Statham. Anyway, we got a problem in Libya. There's a general who's got a bunch of atomic detonating little cubicle things. It doesn't even look like anything. It looks like the little...
It's not General Gaddafi, is it?
No.
Okay.
No. That would have been
Expendables
weirdly
4, the
funny.
Return of Gaddafi.
No, but he's got these, atomic detonators. He's trying to sell them to the highest bidder. The Russians want them, and they want to blow up stuff.
Okay.
But we want your team to go over there and stop all this nonsense.
Wait. Doesn't Stallone say that to Statham?
Yeah.
So you did it with the wrong accent.
Well, hold on a second.
Oh, okay.
So they all... Stallone now can fly the plane. Did he fly the plane before?
I don't know. I haven't seen any of them.
Oh, okay. I didn't think
Dave
he flew
Meekham
the plane.
Dave Meekham is highly
but...
ashamed of me because this is like one of his favorite franchises.
Oh, boy. So he flies the group over there, and now including Megan Fox, we have... Tony Jaa comes later, who I love.
Nukes... They got to stop the nukes. Well, Do we really need to know anything more than that?
No, they're MacGuffins at best. they're little gold balls. They look like the little toilet, ball thing in your toilet.
Yeah.
Yeah, except it's gold.
The tank floaters?
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay.
And wow. So they go to Libya.
So in describing the Expendables, we've called it the, forget, what is it? What
Indefensibles.
The Indefensibles. We've talked about toilet.
Well, then you got Dolph Lundgren who's back. And he's got this mop on his head, and they go, "Oh, what's with the wig?" And he says, "Chicks dig the hair." Like, you're bald. Let it go.
Wow.
Yeah. It's so silly. I just
okay.
Laugh.
So, how much does your love of Jason Statham affect your feeling about this movie?
It's being tested after Meg 2 and this one. I'm like, Jason, you got to up your game, bro. You're better than this. I mean, a lot of great action scenes. Andy Garcia's in this movie, which he's probably thinking...
Does he do action?
I remember when I used to work with De Palma and Scorsese, and now I'm here. You got to lower your expectations. There's a lot of action, which is why these movies are made.
Well, here's the real question. Will fans of the franchise feel they get cheated, or will they feel like they got their money's worth?
I think there's going to be an equal amount of eye roll versus, yeah, go get them.
Okay, and how much is Stallone in it? Because I understand his role is a little more limited.
It is quite limited, yes.
And that kind of goes to the backstory, because I didn't get to see the movie, but I was doing some research on the film, and First of all, it's been like 9 years since the last Expendables movie. Right. And part of the reason it's taken this long is because there was fights over the script and Stallone, what he wanted to have happen. And so then he was completely out. And then they roped him back in a little bit, and then
just when he thought he was out,
they pulled him right back in. Yeah. Also, a much better movie that had Andy Garcia in it.
Yeah.
But we got what we've got is Jason Statham sort of taking the lead on things now. But is there going to be an Expendables 5?
No.
Or Expendable 5?
Stallone says no, but he's fibbed before when he said no more Rockies, no more. You know, Rambos.
Okay.
We've got both of those.
So what would you give Expendables 4?
I'd give it a C.
That feels generous.
I can't help it. I do love
Statham.
So
your love of Statham bumps it up to a C.
You know, he's in it to win it. But there's a lot of weird... I mean, 50 Cent's in it, and I'm not sure why. He has a couple of lines. His bubbling personality comes out. Not at all.
Does he have anything on the soundtrack? Because maybe that's why they did it.
I don't know his soundtrack.
Okay.
So
you didn't watch the credits to make sure you could see all the songs and who sang them.
But Tony Jaa is in it, and he has a brief role where he lives in Thailand, and they apparently where they're going. Oh, yeah. All right. He doesn't. I can't be that guy anymore. But wait, yes, I can. So.
Well, that seems like every single person in the franchise.
And there are two or three great martial artists in this movie that we're hoping that they would really, you know, shine. They don't.
Okay. So this is the big movie of the week, Expendables 4. Steve gives it a C. I didn't see it, and it sounds like I'm not missing very much. So I haven't seen the first three movies either.
I did giggle a lot. There's some ridiculous moments, like turning a aircraft carrier on a dime. That was fun.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
A movie show.
Who's president of the United States in 1985?
Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan? The actor?
On KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back to the movie show. We have talked about Expendables, and we called it the...
Indefensibles,
the Undesirables, the Forgettables. You could probably, sounds like you can substitute whatever you want for that. But we also asked you, in relation to the Expendables, our text question of the week to 57500 for movie show listeners.
Why do they make movies?
Why do they make movies? And why do they continue? No. Because of the Expendables franchise, we want you to tell us your favorite movie from... any star who's been in the Expendables franchise, what is your favorite action movie from that star? And we've already got quite a few people jumping in. Immediately, Rambo came in immediately.
Oh, there's a line from The Retirement Plan.
Really?
Where
with
they refer to
Nick Cage?
Oh, yeah. He sounds like Rambo. Oh, no. This guy taught Rambo.
Oh, goodness. All right, here's one, and I don't know if I've seen this one. So their favorite star is Stallone, and they put Escape Plan.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I've seen that one.
I think Arnold's in that, too.
Now, this one's got to be a joke. Sylvester Stallone over the top. Come on, nobody's going to put that down as
That's
their favorite.
That's the arm wrestling movie.
Arm wrestling movie from the 80s.
Oh, I think there's a reference in – he thumb wrestles a guy and loses. Yeah, I'm not making it up. This is it. This is what you're going to see.
Jason Statham is best in the Transporter series.
Oh, I loved him in the Transporter. That's true.
Is that where you became a big Statham fan?
Well, my favorite scene was when he took air out of a tire. He's underwater, and he can't breathe, so he goes into the valve of the tire, sucks some air out of it so he can be underwater so they can't shoot him.
This is in Expendables.
I think 4. I actually no. This was in the Transporter.
Oh, in the Transporter. Oh, okay.
2, I think, maybe 3.
Oh, yeah. That's a pretty clever one.
I actually stood up and did a slow clap. I go, that is genius.
A slow clap in the theater.
Yeah.
All right, here's one for Bruce Willis, Die Hard. No question. Boy. I mean, that's. But I'm glad somebody said it. And here's one for Stallone. And I loved this movie. I saw it 3 times on opening weekend 30 years ago.
Uh-oh.
Cliffhanger.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that movie was awesome.
That movie made me very uncomfortable. I am have a
You'll never rock climb.
Oh.
All right, so keep them coming in. We've got there's lots of stars to choose from. There's Dolph Lundgren, there's Schwarzenegger, there's
I will break you.
All of them, pretty much all of them have and we'll keep taking your texts at 57500. But Steve, let's review another movie. And let's do Spy Kids Armageddon.
Something is happening.
It's all over the world.
It's like somebody combined a virus with...
the Armageddon code.
What are these things?
They're bad guys from our video game.
Wait a second. I think Mom and Dad are spies.
You think?
How to be a spy.
I'm gonna be the best spy ever.
You did it.
Oh. Almost good.
All right, original Spy Kids director Robert Rodriguez is back at the helm for this franchise that he started over 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's been, so the original kids ain't kids anymore.
Spy grandparents.
So they got to bring in some younger kids. In this new version, the parents are played by Gina Rodriguez and Zachary Levi, and the kids are played by newcomers. Connor Esterson is the boy, Tony, and Everly Carganilla is Patty, and she was in something else recently that I didn't realize until I looked up her filmography, and I was like, oh, that's cute. She was in something you've probably seen. I just don't remember what it is right this second. At any rate, the kids, of course, don't know their parents are spies, but they figure it out when they secretly download a brand new video game which hacks into the family's spy house and steals this Armageddon code, and then it's up to the kids to save the day, and that's pretty much it, basically.
Yeah.
I promise you that parents will roll your eyes a lot, but it's really fun for the kids. My kids absolutely loved it, and they were cheering, and they were excited. And when the spy kids do the cool things, and of course they're acting wise beyond their years, but that's part of the fun of this.
Yeah.
And that's why I say it's like, but Robert Rodriguez, he doesn't do it. Like, when I watched this, I didn't think, oh, this is just Robert Rodriguez trying to get some more cash. I feel like, you know, 20 years, technology has evolved a whole ton. So this is a fun way to get back into, you know, some of the advancements that we've made. So the new spy technology gets even more futuristic. And I'm sure there were some nods to stuff earlier in the series, but I haven't seen the series in enough in a while that I could remember any links. But it, well done. The two kids are just as cute as can be.
Yep.
And Zachary Levi and Gina Rodriguez seem like they're having fun, but not like checked out like you could imagine maybe somebody does. And everybody puts it in, and there's a great message in it, and it's a movie you can watch with your kids or let your kids watch, and they'll really enjoy it.
My favorite part of this movie, the house. I thought the house was so cool.
Except for the creaky floor.
Well, yeah, that
was
dumb.
They got this futuristic thing and one little creaky floor that just happens to be in front of the parents' bedroom.
$5 million home with creaky floors. And it's not even like... it's cement with...
It looks like it doesn't have a basement, so it's not going to be on wood flooring, but
that was dumb. That the rest of it, though, I thought was very entertaining. It's a B for me.
Okay, and for me, it, you know, on the kids' level, it's like a 3.5 out of 4 for kids. Adults, you'll get through it okay. 2.5. 2 if you were bored and want to leave the room as soon as possible, but I don't think you'll feel that way about Spy
Kids. It does get
kids.
Kind of frenetic, you know, towards the end, but that's all right.
Yeah, but you know, like a positive message. Like, I feel like not enough movies, even for kids anymore, lean hard into, like, good, positive messages. Hmm. And this one had one, you know, about maybe you can do things different. You know, spies are supposed to lie, but what if spies told the truth?
Yeah.
It's kind of a fun, novel way to look at something.
Yeah, she was really hurt when she realized that her parents lied.
Right. And meanwhile, the brother's like, oh, this is the best way to do it.
Yeah, he was a little snot. Yeah.
So that's Spy Kids Armageddon, and it is streaming on Netflix as of today.
The Movie Show.
You probably think this world is a dream come true, but you're wrong.
On KSL News Radio.
All right. Final segment of the movie show for this hour, and we've been taking your texts at 57500. What is your favorite action movie from anyone in the Expendables franchise? We've got some more votes. Hey, here's one. Loved Cliffhanger, and how funny was that? That was the first action movie I thought of Stallone's. That means that you have a great mind, Texter, because we think alike. Here's one. Favorite action movie? Impossible to pick just one. If I have to pick one, First Blood. That's from Rob in South Jordan.
Ooh, yeah.
That is a good one. That is the best of the whole Rambo franchise by far. Let's see. Another vote for Over the Top. Come on. You got to be putting me on. True Lies, a Schwarzenegger one.
There we go.
Would you put that as Schwarzenegger's best for you?
Does he have a best?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know about best, but I mean, you got Terminator, Terminator 2. You've got Predator. You've got Commando. I mean, there's some...
Commander's
There's a reason he was a huge action star.
Predator is pretty good.
Predator's so good. Predator's so good. All right.
Not Conan the Barbarian?
Here's a couple votes for Jet Li.
Ooh.
One of them says Mulan, when he was in the live-action Mulan.
Okay.
And one in Fearless.
Yes, Fearless is great. I think he's in Hero also.
Yes. And The One, which we've talked about. I think we talked about that off the air, though. I can't remember. All right, so there's lots to choose from. Your favorite action movie from someone who was in the Expendables movie franchise. Lots to choose from. Maybe sometime we should do what was... I'm coming up with great questions. One of these weeks we're going to do, what was the movie death that traumatized you the most?
The movie death?
Yes. Oh, that'll be fun. That's not this week, though. We're going to save that one. So be thinking ahead, because that's one. But this week it's the favorite action movie franchise, or action movie from anyone who's been in the Expendables franchise. All right, Steve, let's do some movie news.
Okay.
Not just any news.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
Movie news. On the KSL Movie Show.
All right. What do you got?
Michael Caine.
Yes, love him.
Love him. He just turned 90. And he says...
Really? So yeah. Maybe he was in something with Laurence Olivier. I was wondering last week.
He began in 1950. One of his first roles was 1950. He's been in over 160 films or TV shows.
Wow.
And he says retirement is near, if it hasn't already occurred. He has one more film out coming up called The Great Escaper, and it features he plays a real-life British war veteran, Bernard Jordan, who escapes his retirement home to attend the 70th anniversary of D-Day landing in France. So he says the reason I probably will be done is because I can hardly walk. He's citing physical limitations, and he says, good grief, I'm 90. Let it go.
I mean, think about it. He has played such a variety of roles and in so many good movies. I mean, two of my favorite comedies of all time star Michael Caine, and one of them is Noises Off from the early 90s, and one of them
Dirty
is...
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels?
No, I love that one too, but that's not one of my five favorite comedies, but Without a Clue, where he plays... Sherlock Holmes, but basically plays an actor hired by Dr. Watson to be Sherlock Holmes. And he's so funny in that. I mean, just so funny. And look, how effortlessly can he switch from comedy to serious, because he's so effective in comedies, even being silly. And, you know, you look at... he was Alfred in one of the Batman movies.
Yeah.
Like, he can go...
He was in Jaws 3.
Well, Death Trap. Wasn't it him and Christopher Reeve in Death Trap?
I think.
The one where they're both the playwrights?
Maybe.
I think I'm right. Stone can always look that up for me if he jumps back to his computer.
Well, Alfie, of course, one of his earlier favorite films.
Oh, yeah. But he was in Sleuth with Laurence Olivier. That's what we just confirmed.
Oh,
so that
good.
Was the Caine that the texture was talking about last week. But bravo to Michael Caine. You can step away on whatever
you
terms
know what?
You say.
The cool thing, he says, I have a great family. It's not everyone's family, but it's perfect for me. I'll have a loving wife, my children. I'm 90. I'm done. So if he just kind of fades away, don't be alarmed.
And that's what I say. He has such a body of work that he'll never be gone. Like, you've got so much stuff that you can watch. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels was amazing.
Hilarious.
All right. So my movie news for the week is just, I was looking at maybe talking about the Max adding a live sports level to its streaming service. But that's not really movies. So let's talk about Taylor Swift, the Eras Tour. We're now what? 3 weeks away, 4 weeks away from it, 3 weeks?
The 13th.
Yeah, so that's about, I guess that's 2 or 3 weeks from now. 4 weeks. It's already tracking for $100 million now to $125 million.
Opening weekend.
Yeah, that's the numbers that they just keep going on. I can only imagine what they're going to be tracking at on the Monday that it opens. It's already scared off all kinds of films from the 13th.
Oh.
Some off of the 6th. Some off of the 20th, because it's going to be the second weekend, because it's only going to play over the weekends. It's not going to play all during the week, is my understanding.
That's weird.
Yeah.
An insider in the theater business said Taylor Swift has saved the theater business this summer.
Well, I'm glad. Like, after the, you know, with the strikes and the inability to promote stuff and, you know, so many movies, I think that there's a lot of movies that we've ended up having to go on Thursday night to watch would have been screened if they were still doing the Hollywood premieres with all of the stars. So,
I do have
the
one
strike
of
is affecting people like you and me, Steve,
although
and now it matters.
They're meeting again today, and these are with the CEOs of some of the studios. So it's getting close. I think they're going to come up with something, but I'm going to mention this because I know we're out of time. Winning Time co-creator Max Bornstein said, I am not mad at HBO. It was way too expensive a project, but we did get to shoot our dream show, and we're grateful for that.
Yes. We were going to probably talk about that later, but
we can
Winning Time,
we can get into it later.
Winning Time is officially over, and Yeah, because I do want to talk about some stuff that's in it. Okay, so that is movie news here on The Movie Show on KSL News Radio.
Planning a weekend on the couch? Streaming your favorite movie or a new show? Andy and Steve sort through it all so you only binge the best. It's The Movie Show Streaming Reviews on KSL News Radio.
All right, this KSL Movie Show Big Streaming Review is sponsored by the Joshua Stern Team. Visit sternteam.com to learn your home's real value in 30 seconds. Click sell, then home evaluation. Steve, the big streaming thing, in my opinion, and I don't know, maybe you'll agree with me, it is The Continental, which is from the world of John Wick, and it is streaming on Peacock. Now, you didn't get a chance to see it, but let me tell you.
I did watch the trailer, and I thought, it made me a little nervous. I thought, this doesn't look quite as cool as Wick World.
Well, that's going to be what I think people talk about. So if you're a fan of the John Wick movie series, then you're going to automatically have an interest in the idea of the Continental. You know, that's, the, of course, the hotel in the middle of New York where the people of John Wick's profession, in quotes, hitmen, have a place of sanctuary. And
yeah, it appears that the sanctuary comes later because in the preview, everybody's getting killed at the Continental.
Well,
no,
at least in the first episode, there are people that get killed at the Continental, but then they flash the red light of businesses being conducted at the Continental in violation of the rules.
So
that
rule
appears
wasn't
to be a rule all along.
Oh, okay.
You can't conduct business, by what they mean is you can't kill anybody at the Continental. So if you're on the run and you have Continental privileges, you can go hang out in the Continental as long as you want, and nobody can touch you.
Supposedly.
No matter what, but yes. But if you do it, then you get kicked out. So at any rate, in the movie, it's owned by Ian McShane's character, Winston Scott. This is Winston Scott's sort of origin story back in the 1970s. And they went to great lengths to trash up the roads of New York City back to 1970s level.
Garbage.
There's
spray
paint on everything everywhere. But what you've got is Winston, and I don't want to give away too much for people who watch it, but Winston Scott is, him and his brother actually grew up in New York. That's something that you find out, even though he's got a British accent, but he ends up going off to live in London long enough to gain his accent. And then, let's see, the owner of the Continental, this is where some people have had an issue. It's the owner in the 1970s is a kingpin named Cormac, who's played by Mel Gibson.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, a bearded Mel Gibson. It turns out Winston's brother has stolen something from Cormac, who, in an effort to get it back, has forced Winston to track his brother down. And there's only three episodes of The Continental, but each one is movie length, either an hour and 20 to an hour and 40 minutes each. But there's only three episodes. So you can look at it as there's only three episodes of The Continental, or you can look at it as it's like still eight and a half hours of stuff to watch. They're dropping one episode each week. The first one drops for each Friday for the next 3 weeks. So, I mean, action-wise, it's just as bloody as a John Wick movie, just as much language as a John Wick movie, but it doesn't have John Wick.
I noticed the cars in it, though.
They're classic cars because it's the 1970s.
Yeah, but they're brand new then.
A couple of them are. And, again, I just think the biggest thing is going to be like a cold water. If you're going in hoping for some John Wick, or maybe we get to see a teenage John Wick, or we'll get to see like a baby John Wick. Maybe we do see a baby John Wick. I don't know. But not in the first episode.
So far.
It's basically Winston, and it's kind of his backstory.
Oh, okay.
All right. Now, we've also got Still on Apple TV+.
Still up.
Still up.
Oh.
Oh, as I said, do you want to talk about it?
Yeah. Oh, it's an eight-part series on Apple TV+. This is season one, and the first three episodes are today, and then there'll be one each week afterwards. It's about two insomniacs who they do phone chat over the in the evening when everyone else is asleep. They seem to be able to just, you know.
Well, they can't sleep.
Yeah.
That's their problem. So.
Which I thought was funny. In the third episode or fourth episode.
You're ahead of me. I only got through three of them.
There's a sleep lab, and our friends at Sound Sleep Medical are going to get an absolute kick out of the sleep lab because it is hilarious. They become best friends. I don't know. They haven't met, but they do face chat, so they know what each other
looks
like.
I feel like they've met before.
But
maybe not, because one of them, the guy, he won't leave his house. Like, that's part of his anxiety.
Yeah,
he can't leave the house.
Yeah.
And her issue is she's worried about her daughter, I think. That's what kind of causes her insomnia. But neither can sleep, but they talk all night via FaceTime. Including to the point where it's interfering with their relationships with their others, the others that they're trying to date and stuff. So they don't have a relationship, but there's something there. Apple calls it officially an almost romantic comedy.
And I understand that. And it's kind of cool. It's almost like Sleepless in Seattle, where they, you know, they want to connect, but they don't until the very end of the movie. And maybe that's what's going to happen here. But it seems like that's where they're headed, because when she does his profile on a dating site and she ends up, her name pops up as 91% compatible, you're like, oh, so maybe.
And then she hurries and deletes the site.
Yeah, exactly. And it's very funny.
I thought it kind of had some Seinfeld-esque moments. Like, stuff is utterly ridiculously happening. And like the scene where she's on the bus, where somebody on the bus steals her aunt's dress and then puts it on.
Yeah, that was weird.
And then she can't seem to get, so that it just seemed like a Seinfeld type situation. Like Elaine comes back to tell the guys, oh, so I was on the bus and some guy actually stole my dress, then put it on. Then I couldn't get him to take it off. And finally I had to do that. Like that.
Or the idiot just has to order a pizza because he told his neighbor he was going to go to Disneyland for a month.
So he has to have him slide it through the window, and of course none of the windows
open. And all that was very funny. I thought it was clever, well
written. It's British humor also. Some of it's kind of...
Yeah, that's why I call it Sleepless in Sussex.
And that's a clever way to do it. So that one is still up, and that is on Apple TV+. Plus. Yeah. All right, we've got some more streaming stuff that we'll talk about a little bit later on in the show. But that's streaming news for now on the movie show on KSL News Radio.
The movie show.
It's a fake laugh.
It's real. On KSL News Radio.
All right, it's the movie show. And Steve... FanX is going on downtown at the Salt Palace Convention Center.
What?
Yeah, I know. If you hadn't heard about it, the big fan convention that Salt Lake has made famous. It's the 10th year, and I was a little bit reluctant at first when it first happened, but I quickly became a fan of FanX as I went and saw just how much of a fun time you can have.
You know, I've been there a few times.
Right. I was just being a little bit joking earlier in the show when I said, curmudgeonly. But it was more that, you know, every time I talk about fan stuff a little too much, you talk about me going into the weeds. But this is like a weed convention.
No, I get it. It's cool.
But we have a good time, and that's part of the thing. A weed convention. Wait, is that something else? No, I'm just kidding. All right, but.
That Maui Wowie stuff's killer.
But one of the cool things about FanX is that the celebrities will come in and give fans a chance to meet some of the people that they've enjoyed on screen in different roles. And I got to interview Charlie Hunnam from Sons of Anarchy and the wildly underrated, in my opinion, King Arthur Legend of the Sword.
And the Tudor. He was in the Tudor.
He was also in Shantaram, a series that came out last year on Apple TV.
Oh, yeah. I watched the first couple episodes.
He said one of the works he's most proud of is The Lost World of Zed or something like that. But, at any rate, Charlie Hunnam, and so one of the reasons he's coming this year, ironically, he's not coming this year as a celebrity, like a typical celebrity. He's coming because he and someone else have partnered up on a new way to get autographs. That's one of the fun things to do at FanX, is to get autographs of your favorite celebrities.
Stamp it on your forehead or what?
No, it's actually a digital way of autographing stuff that's kind of unique. It's called Neon Mango, and that's the main reason he wanted to talk to me, was to tell me a little bit about Neon Mango. But it's a way that, like, they call it the future of autographs, and it is pretty cool and unique. You get, instead of just like a still photograph, which is what most autographs are on, him and the group have created this thing of like, you get a digital copy of the autograph, but it's a digital, like, he can autograph a little moving picture of himself. So, and then one of the fun things that comes with it is like you get a little bit of a personalized message that comes with
it. So he says stuff to you also?
Yes. Oh. So it's kind of like a card delivery in a way, but you can display it on your phone. You can display it on your TV.
Do you tell him what to say?
You can. Yeah. Oh. And so he's debuting that at FanX. But I asked him, though, why did he launch a digital autograph service?
People still really love to get autographs. I get a lot of requests sent to my house, you know, sometimes too many that I can keep up with. And going to, you know, FanX and a few of these other events, and just seeing really just how happy and positive and excited people are at those events. They're like the least cynical environments you could possibly be in. And so that was sort of the genesis of it, of just realizing that, you know, it's 2023, we live in a digital era. is there a way we could sort of share that happiness in a wider capacity, sort of globally, rather than this sort of localized way in the experience that we've had? So we set about seeing if we could design and build a piece of technology that could deliver these high-end, really beautiful digital autographs. So that was the birth of Neon Mango.
They do look really cool, I'm not going to lie. He even showed me. He signed one while I was watching him. I interviewed him over Zoom, and he signed one. And first of all, dude's got like amazing penmanship, first of all.
By the way, I forgot he was British.
Yeah, he is British. He was King Arthur, if you'll recall. So he talked about how I mentioned that you can get like a personal message from the star themselves. So I asked Charlie how people are reacting to that feature.
So far, anecdotally, the reception to these things has been very, very good. People, because I think a lot of the value is in the recorded message, because I'm saying, hey, Andy, I know you're going for that promotion today. Go show him your stuff, my brother. Go kill him. And the ability to send like an intimate personal message to somebody, I think the messaging aspect of it is actually more valuable, or probably going to prove to be more valuable than people requesting an autograph for themselves.
So
I always thought autographs were weird. You're standing right next to somebody and you both look down at the piece of paper and they scribble on something and that's it. I always thought it was, I just want to say hi and say thank you for your work or whatever.
Right. And, you know, an autograph is oftentimes a way to show that, yes, not only did I meet this person, here's proof that I met them.
Yeah.
But it's just a thing. I don't know. Maybe it's just a cultural thing. But so this Neon Mango is a new way for that he's trying to get going for you to be able to take an autograph that's not just the same old thing. And it's a new way to have it digitally and be able to show it to people in a really cool way.
So is it Cameo that does the – where you can actually have a okay.
Yeah, where they record like a video
so
message.
How much does he charge for these little Neo?
You had to go to Neon Mango to look that up.
Oh, you don't know. Okay.
I don't know. I didn't have that. But he's doing them live. He's actually signing them live at FanX while he's here this weekend.
Okay.
So you'll actually get to see him do it. But it's also set up to where you could do it even if you're not there. And that's one of the things he was hoping was that he could give autographs to people that maybe couldn't make it to a fan convention here or there.
Gotcha.
But I asked him, like, what is it like to actually be this someone that people actually want to meet at an event like this?
You know, the experience to me runs the gamut. What was clear to me early is if you're going to show up as a notable person and expect people or be a participant in people waiting to come see you, you have to offer as much value as possible and, you know, really sort of engage. And what I found from that is they're so interesting, those conversations, and really lovely and sometimes completely tragic. People have, you know, a widely different reason for being there. And sometimes it's about grief or closing a chapter of family life, somebody whose, you know, father was sick, and in the last year of their life they watched Sons of Anarchy every day together and it like got them through that, you know, period of life, and they want to come to tell me their father's name who died, you know, 6 months ago. There are a lot of interactions like that where you go, okay, now everything stops and we're going to sit down and like, tell me about your dad. Let's talk about this. And so those are sort of the extreme of the interactions, which I always think are sort of the reason to go, to give people an opportunity to do that if it feels important to them. And then just generally, just like a lot of mad love, like, you know, really making people smile and making people laugh and have a good time. And, you know, the cumulative effect of doing that for 8 hours and having a series of very joyous interactions, you know, by the end of the day, you go like, oh yeah, undeniably, this was like a great use of time today. We just like made 250 people smile.
Wow.
It's a pretty good way to put it.
I never thought of it that way, but that is.
And if you think about it, like how many times maybe would somebody, we had an argument about this on Utah's Morning News this morning, where, you know, some people look at things like FanX and they kind of look down on it with derision, like, oh, look at those weirdos dressed up like Batman or Superman or cosplaying. And you know, I understand.
You're looking
the
at me
thought
right
process.
Now, aren't
you? Well, no, I'm just saying, like, but there's people like that, but for a lot of these people, it's more than that. You know, like, yeah. Think about if you got a chance to meet Mickey Mantle and you remembered watching Mickey Mantle with your dad, it's the same thing, only this time it's just a different arena. And he told me, he says, when he gets home from FanX and conventions like that, he's like, he's emotionally exhausted because that's the thing. He wants to give them that moment. He doesn't want to just like, oh, yeah, your dad, that sounds great. Okay, $50. We'll see you later.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Right. And so part of the reason people go is for that, just those moments of interaction, because they have panels that anybody can go to for free at FanEx, where the star will get up on the stage and they'll talk about different things. Yeah. I'm actually moderating a panel tonight for Zachary Levi and Jack Dylan Grazer, who were in Shazam together. But the other chance is to meet him one-on-one just for a second, say, hey, I got my chance to tell him how much I loved King Arthur, Legend of the Sword in this Zoom interview. There's just something about
that. And he said,
oh,
you're the one.
Oh, no. He gets that a lot.
10, 9. The KSL Movie Show. Top 10. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, it's the Movie Show Top 10, sponsored by our friends at Call Climate Services. We also would normally play our top listener reviews, but we didn't get any top listener reviews. I think people are having too much fun with the text line, and they think that the voice is a lot of work. But come on, you get a chance to have your voice on the radio reviewing a movie. That number, you want to write this down, and then when you've got a movie to review, call this number at 801-575-7668. And then you can leave a review. Every time we have a good one, we play it. So
I want to hear what Don thinks of Star Wars.
Don is never going to hear the
greatest
end of that.
Baseball movie of all time.
is an inside joke if you weren't listening a few weeks ago. All right, the Movie Show Top 10. Number 10, TMNT Mutant Mayhem Ninja Turtles.
Ah, yeah. Done okay.
It hit streaming this week.
Oh.
It's on Paramount Plus
so
now.
That's the end of that. Well,
probably going to drop it off.
168 million worldwide. That's not bad.
All right. Number 9, Oppenheimer.
Man, this thing is killing it. $913 million worldwide. That's insane for a three-hour movie.
And, yeah. And we both liked it, but it's not the easiest watch
for
a lot of reasons.
I was talking to a film critic the other night when we were watching Dumb Money.
Okay.
Jeff said it's his favorite film of the year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Then number 8, Gran Turismo.
It's made 40 domestic, 64 foreign. It just went over 100 million.
I feel like this one would have done better because it was enjoyable. It's a great racing movie. Enjoying a racing movie in the theater is always going to be better than enjoying a racing movie at home, is my opinion.
Yeah.
And Gran Turismo is no exception. I wish that this was not during the strike when it could have had a better promotional campaign.
Yeah. I think some of these would really love that too.
Yeah, yeah. Number 7, Juwan.
Well, Juwan just keeps cranking them out there. 12 domestic, 7 foreign. It's only in 826 theaters, but, you know.
Is that only because the movie's like 5 and 6 hours long or something?
No,
like
it's
that?
Only 2 hours and 49 minutes.
Only 249.
Which is a short for
India. Do you want to spend a lot of time in the movie theater?
Oh, there you go.
Hi-o. All right, number 6, Blue Beetle.
Blue Beetle, cute movie, 68 domestic, 53 foreign. It's at 121, respectable number.
Respectable, but I think it would have done better with being able to promote it with the stars. Number 5, Barbie. This one at least got a week or two of the stars promoting it before, but it would have done gangbusters no matter what.
627 domestic, 792 foreign, $1.418 billion. It is now the number 11th movie all time. In nine weeks.
That's amazing. It's not one of those slow rolls that keeps raking the money in. It's been a fast roll, and right now it's still at number 5, 9 weeks in.
Yeah.
All right, number 4, My Big Fat Greek Wedding 3. I'm actually surprised that's still in the top 5.
Ooh, it's only been out 2 weeks.
I know.
20 domestic, 5 foreign, 25.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Wow, it's dying foreign. I would have thought foreign might have propped it up a little bit.
Apparently Greece is not on board.
Number 3, The Equalizer 3.
This has done well. 74 domestic, 59 foreign at 133 in 3 weeks. That's good on you, Denzel.
All right. A Haunting in Venice, number 2, debuted. It couldn't quite take the top spot.
No, not didn't do it. 17 domestic, 24 foreign. It's at 41.
I liked it.
I did too.
But, I mean, it wasn't perfect, but I liked it. And you said last week, and I think you're right, just the people who would like a Poirot mystery aren't going to realize it's a Poirot mystery unless they listen to the movie show.
And I think the haunting in the title kind of throws them off because they think it might be too much horror.
And if you look at if you don't sit through the entire trailers, you'll get maybe a different idea of how much, when you actually see the movie, you'd be like, well, the horror wasn't nearly as big of an aspect as it seems to be played up. So
exactly.
But yeah, but it's good, and Branagh's good. And then at number one, which is, you know, look, at number one is a horror movie, The Nun 2. You wouldn't think that some of the people who go to The Nun 2 would go see A Haunting in Venice?
Well, I think The Nun, probably The Nun people are back. So 59 domestic, 105 foreign. We're at 164 in 2 weeks. That's pretty good.
The Nun 2 has made $59 million in 2 weeks. Big Fat Greek Wedding has made 20 in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Why do you have horror movies? Because they're cheap to make and they rake in the dough.
That's exactly right.
And that is the Movie Show Top 10, sponsored by Call Climate Services. We've been taking your text today, and the question, if you've joined us late, to text to 57500 is, what is your favorite action movie in honor of the Expendables of one of the stars of anyone in the Expendables franchise? Here are some of the ones that we've got, Steve, since we've talked last. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jingle All the Way. I think people are goofing with us here. I really do. Kindergarten Cop, that is a good one. It actually has some action. Sylvester Stallone in Stop or My Mom Will Shoot. Come on. If you're going to go with a Stallone comedy, there is only one, and it is Oscar, and it is one of the greatest movies ever.
Wasn't he also in Throw Mama from the Train?
No.
Well, that wasn't him?
No, it was Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Oh.
Throw Mama from the Train was Billy Crystal and Danny DeVito.
Oh.
Yeah, but you're thinking of it was, yeah. Everyone, when you say Stallone comedy, they think of Stop or My Mom Will Shoot, and they can't believe he could do something funny. But I defy you to watch the movie Oscar and find yourself wrong.
Oh,
I
absolutely get like a 5% back end on that?
Dude, or? I love that movie. I promote it because nobody's even heard of it. Have you heard of it?
I've seen it.
Okay.
Of course I've seen it.
Great. All right.
Wait, before you go, our tease for Telephone Torture is a Jason Statham movie.
I wonder if someone has texted in the correct answer unwittingly. We haven't even given out the clues, so you can't know what it is. But
nobody said anything about Jason Statham movies.
Yeah, they did.
Who?
Somebody texted in the Transporter.
Oh, Transporter, okay. Yeah.
So
that's one.
All right. And then here's one, Steve. This refers to last week. Andy, tell everyone that A Million Miles Away is so good and very clean.
Yeah, it's a sweet movie.
So there we go. Sarah, that's a good reminder.
Well done, Sarah.
That's the movie we talked about last week. So that's the Movie Show Top 10 and some of your texts on the Movie Show
and
on
A Million,
KSL.
Where is that? That's on
Prime, I want to say. It's either Prime or Netflix, but it is streaming.
Yeah.
Steve's looking through his notes.
It is Prime.
Okay.
Movie reviews and Hollywood news. The KSL Movie Show.
All right, Steve, we've got a couple of movies we need to talk about here in this segment. So let's start with, let's do quickly, It Lives Inside.
All the stories we heard growing up, they're all true. It lives inside. Don't you hear it?
What is the pishash? The pishash doesn't kill you right away. It feeds on you slowly.
We must make an offering.
Wow.
That was a jump scare there at the end.
So if your best friend comes up to you in high school and you're both of Indian descent, and that's, you know, from India, and has a jar, a mason jar with a black cloud in it, don't slap it out of her hand. There's a reason for that.
First of all, why do you bring a mason jar with a black cloud to
school? And do the creepy eye thing and your hair's in your face. Like, come on. So
they're just daring you to slap
it out.
This thing
gets out, and there's a whole subculture in Hinduism that you know, refers to a demon and a god that keeps that demon suppressed.
Okay.
And so that's what this is about. And from that regard, it's kind of interesting how they go about. At one point, they invite it, the demon, but they fix a meal for it so that when it shows up, and then they can capture it and do whatever. So it's really cool right up until the end when they decide what to do to finally, you know, lock this demon back up. And it doesn't involve a mason jar, which seemed like it would be a perfect place to put him. But heck,
if that's
no,
where they came from, let's get him back.
Let's do something
maybe
else.
A mayonnaise jar to make it pay for its getting out before. Although I do like mayonnaise.
Yeah, why would you ruin mayonnaise? That's just awful.
Well, it's to punish the demon.
Oh, well. Yeah, he's not happy. He comes out and he does a lot of bad stuff.
Or maybe a ketchup bottle instead, because I know some people hate
don't
ketchup.
Slap the hand, don't slap the jar out of somebody's hand. That's just stupid.
That doesn't make any sense. So It Lives Inside, rated?
It is rated PG-13, and I gave it a C+.
C+ for It Lives Inside. All right, now let's talk about the one that we both saw that I think we're going to have some fun with. No One Will Save You.
Thank you.
Okay, there's a reason that we played that clip, because literally this movie is 2 hours with one line of dialogue. One.
I don't even remember the one line. When you guys asked me about it, you said there's no dialogue in this movie. I'm like, what? How is that possible?
I just think it's funny that you watched the whole movie and it didn't dawn on you at any point that they never said a word.
Well, because they get right after it. I mean,
they do.
And they don't screw around.
So here's the premise. It is funny. So Caitlin Dever plays a girl who lives by herself and is kind of an outcast from the people in her town. One night, aliens show up and try to kidnap her. She fights back. And that's pretty much it. That's the story of the movie.
Well, here's the thing, though. She has no skills. She's just super lucky.
She's very lucky.
Super
on the first
lucky.
One.
I mean, stuff happens, and she's like, oh, I didn't mean to do that, but...
But I'm still alive and
guess
not kidnapped
what?
By aliens.
You're not.
And so it goes through the whole movie, no dialogue. And now I will say this for the no dialogue thing. I do like Caitlin Dever as an actress. And her getting to, like, have to emote basically through everything but dialogue. I actually thought she did a really good job.
I did too. I thought she was excellent.
But it is a nonsensical mess at the end. I don't have any idea what happened at the end. I mean, I know what happened, but I have no idea what happened and why. I have no idea why the aliens were there. They never explain that. And there's these googly things that go in people's throats. That's why when I was joking of it, it lives inside. It could fit as well for no one.
Oh, I see.
Because there's something that lives inside. Or something. I don't know. Do some people have it? Do some not? I couldn't tell.
And how do you get rid of it if you don't want it in there? You
well,
know?
She managed.
Yeah, but it still somehow got to her. I don't get that ending. Somebody edited the heck out of it, fell asleep, and just threw the last scene in there, and you have no idea. There's no context for it whatsoever. That's infuriating.
Yeah, so that is... That's streaming on Hulu. It's rated PG-13, and it is called No One Will Save You.
So brilliant for 90%.
I have a feeling we're going to revisit this movie later in the show.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's No One Will Save You, and that is on Hulu.
It's the KSL Movie Show.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The week's big movie review. Games and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
We're slow learners. We're not particularly good listeners.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
All right, it is the movie show. As we begin our final hour here, we've been taking your texts all morning. What is your favorite action movie that stars someone from the Expendables action movie franchise, which, what is there, like 50 of them that were expendable over the course of the four movies? We've had some good ones. Here's one for you. This is Darren.
Darren.
Like Steve, I'm a big Jason Statham fan, Darren says.
Well done, sir.
My favorites are Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Oh, yes.
And Crank.
Oh, Crank, yeah.
All right. We've got somebody who texted in Redemption. I don't know who's in that one. The Italian Job.
Yeah.
I don't know who from Expendables was in The Italian Job, but that is a good one. I do like that one. All right. So those are some of the texts we've got. I absolutely love The Last Action Hero with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Such a great film, says Clint in Sandy. He's one of maybe six people who would say that The Last Action Hero was great.
I like that movie. The one
Did
with
you
the,
know?
The cinema thing?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Awesome.
That's considered one. Here's Masters of the Universe with Dolph Lundgren.
Ugh.
Nobody likes that. Maybe somebody does. Who knows? All right. So we are, let's see, what have we got? Oh, we've got another movie to review this hour, Steve.
Which one?
Dumb Money.
Oh.
I will tell you, I've never seen anything like it.
Holy, is the craziest I think I've ever seen.
Everything okay?
$11 million. What are you going to do? Get a Ferrari?
Oh, language. The baby's here.
Ooh. Yo, what up, everybody? Roaring Kitty here. I'm going to pick a stock and talk about why I think it's interesting. And that stock is GameStop.
Yeah. There's a nice disclaimer in that clip we played
yep.
that you'll need to keep in mind if you do go see Dumb Money. This is the story, the true story of the thing that happened back in 2021 when a guy named, let's see, where did I put that? When a guy named, Dumb Money, there it is. Okay, a guy named from Massachusetts talks on his blog about how he thought GameStop, the company that sells those video games in malls and shops, was just undervalued. And he felt so confident that he put $50,000 of his own money into the stock. and he would tell it. He thought it was undervalued. But here's the thing. All the big financial Wall Street corporations had bet on had put that stock on short sell, meaning they were expecting the price to fall, and they stood to make a lot of money if it went down. I'm not going to take the time to describe how Wall Street works and why it works that way. But basically, it goes like this. If the price goes up, those firms stand to lose not just millions, but billions.
It seems kind of rude, if you think about it.
Well, I mean,
you're going to bet that somebody's going to fail?
Yeah. So that's the rude part. But if it goes up, they lose. But if it does go down, then they make another bunch of millions of dollars. And so when Paul Dano's character, Keith Gill, that's his name, Keith, recommends this to his followers, he recommends that they buy but then hold. So even as the price goes up and they start to see their portfolios increase, they call it hold the line. Hold the line, actually. Yeah. It became a thing where it's misspelled. Basically this, people like Seth Rogen, who plays a hedge fund manager, Ron from Parks and Rec.
Nick Offerman,
he plays a hedge fund manager. And basically Wall Street's in a tizzy. The rich people at Wall Street are in a tizzy because they're losing money even as these people gain it. And it all has to do as well with Robinhood, the trading app that was a big thing back then, whose owner is played by Sebastian Stan.
Yeah, it's a big name.
So lots going on. What it eventually does is it ripples all the way from Wall Street to Congress. And if you're going to see it, I don't want to give – I mean, you can look up the story if you really want to know. But that's it. So how did you feel about this?
Everything you've said so far is perfect. The thing that I didn't care for – and I'm pretty – I'm very difficult to offend.
Okay.
Challenge
accepted. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, they met it and exceeded it. The music – I get that the people are all rebels. You know, they're like, you know, the little guy trying to take on the stock market. So the language is extensive. But the music cues are – the choices of music are like serious, heavy rap with a lot of language.
There's a famous Nicki Minaj song right at the beginning that is just vulgar as all get out.
And – I didn't understand why they went to that length, because what you've done then is you've limited your market of who's going to see this movie. Once they find out that the language and the lyrics and the music are so off-putting that it's going to have a really hard time selling what is, to me, the best movie of the week.
It was enjoyable. Like, it's the David versus Goliath thing where, you know, regular people see the reason that the word dumb money, it comes from what Wall Street calls people who invest on their own. They're like, oh, I like this stock or I like this company. So they put their money in it and they lose it. And so it's a derogatory term by the rich for the regular investor. And there's a whole really interesting exploration of how something that was designed to allow everyone to take part in the funding of companies and stuff. Yes, we can still technically buy shares of stock in things. That's part of the reason the Robinhood app was key in it, is that it was a no commission trade. So people didn't have to say, well, I only have like $150. You can buy more shares when you don't have to pay a third of that in commissions to the trading house.
But
then when it starts to go wrong and it turns out Robinhood's owned by some of the rich firms.
Or at least heavily influencing.
Or heavily invested by some of those hedge funds. So the way it all works together, really, it's the rich people who have all the power no matter what. And this was one time for a little while where the little guy or the little girl had the power in that particular case.
And in that case, for that purpose, it worked brilliantly.
But you're right. I mean, it's true. I've been to a lot of movies with you, and I am definitely more sensitive to the language than you are, at least more outwardly, maybe.
Well,
but when you're noticing it.
If the slipper fits Cinderella, fine.
That's true. You said that about Jamie Foxx. Like, that's kind of
his
character
thing,
persona.
I expect it
films.
From him. I don't expect it from just Main Street people. And the language cues were so startling that it just that part of it did not work for me.
Well, maybe this will help you in your decision. Besides what we've said, the poster for the movie is stacks of money in the shape of somebody giving you the bird.
Yeah.
So that's the tone of this kind of a movie.
Yeah, it's very sassy. There's no question about it.
To me, the fascinating part was imagining yourself in each of those scenarios. Like, you're the poor, struggling single mom nurse.
Yeah.
And suddenly, like, do you sell when it hits this point that's going to make a huge difference in your life?
Even knowing, though, that if you do that, you've kind of violated.
Yeah, this only works if everybody holds it. And if everybody starts selling, that's when those people who shorted the stock are going to make their money. Right. So, you know, there's a clip where Paul Dano and his wife, Haley, it's not Haley Steinfeld. It's the one who was in the I can't think of her name. Shailene Woodley. Thank you. Yeah. Shailene Woodley. How much did we make today, babe? He's like, $4 million. And then it cuts over to Seth Rogen's house. How much did we lose today, babe? He's like, $1 billion. And how about yesterday? $1 billion.
Yeah, that's in the trailer, which is
– yeah.
All of that works. I just wish that they had done it a little differently. And yet still, I gave it a B+.
Yeah, and for me, it was a 3-star. I just wish that there was more people who I felt like could go see it. And even if you're kind of hoping for the well, maybe if you've got the – you know, the clean flicks version or whatever later on, you're going to have huge swaths of dialogue where you're not going to hear anything.
Well, but it's sort of like what CBS did to Yellowstone. People are like going, what just happened here? That's not the same show.
Well, so that is Dumb Money. And I think we could say that of Dumb Money and Expendables 4, that one was by far the better movie.
Oh, by leaps and bounds. I mean, just clever writing, everything.
But if you're going to go, prepare yourself to be assaulted.
Yeah, and maybe I was watching it through your filter a little bit. But I just didn't. I was uncomfortable.
All right. Well, let's take a break here on the movie show. And when we get back, what have we got? Oh, we've got the thing everybody looks forward to. Telephone torture.
Don't we still have another movie, The Retirement Plan?
Yeah, but I thought we were going to do that one later.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's fine.
Gustavo, let's just, we're going to review a movie here. Before we wrap up this segment, we're going to review a movie, and then we'll move Telephone Torture to our next segment, so okay. We have a little bit more time. But, Steve, let's talk about The Retirement Plan.
Yeah. I haven't seen my daughter, and now her daughter shows up at my front doorstep and not a word.
I think my parents are in some kind of trouble.
Oh, Ashley's in trouble. What is it this time? Welcome to the island. I'm losing my patience.
Oh, no.
I guarantee you there's more men that are already coming. And they will not stop until we are all dead.
My dad's an assassin, isn't he?
Yeah, your dad's totally an assassin.
Nick Cage is transcendental. Some of that clip sounds like somebody trying to do a Nick Cage accent as an old guy. But it's Nick Cage trying to do an old guy accent.
I can't apologize or love him any more than I do. It's just two sides of a coin. This movie is about a young woman. Her husband has stolen something from Jackie Earle Haley.
Don't mess with that guy.
No, he's bald now, and he's, like, really angry. It's a drive, flash drive, and it's got apparently some amazing information on it that everybody wants. Well, he says, gives it to the wife, who then stuffs it into the knapsack of her daughter. And then when all heck breaks loose, the only person that she thinks she can trust is a father that she hasn't seen for 10 years who lives in the Cayman Islands. So she just puts,
and that's Nick Cage.
Yeah. And then she puts the daughter.
Nick Cage is a deadbeat dad?
Can you believe it?
What?
He's a stinking hippie. He's got long hair.
Wait, are we talking long hair like Con Air long hair?
Not as pretty. This is like super gray. Looked like a mop just shoved on the top of his head.
Oh, my goodness.
But you don't even care because it's Nick Cage. And so bad guys start coming down to the Caymans, including, this one blew my mind, Ron Perlman shows up as a kind of a big, dumb, like a hitman for Earl Haley. And his name is Bobo. And he's like,
Ron Perlman?
Yeah. He's like, hey, well, I don't know about this. You know, and he's just really goofy. But when he has to take care of the girl and they kind of kidnap the girl away from Grandpa, he's like, yeah, oh, you're reading Othello? Well, that's a great book. You know, and it's just weird stuff. But Nick Cage realizes there's something wrong, and then everybody's coming down to the Caymans to try to take care of this problem. But every time Jackie Earle sends somebody down, Grandpa dispatches them. He says, what do you mean he took out three guys? He's an old man. What's going on here? The guy goes, well, you don't realize. Yeah, he sounds like Rambo. Oh, no. He's not Rambo. He's the guy that trained Rambo.
Oh, goodness.
And I laughed so hard. Yet, it's a with the Ron Perlman character who kind of softens up and wants to protect the girl to the way that he dispatches, the way that Nick Cage dispatches the bad guys to Ernie Hudson showing up as a good friend of Nick Cage's that wants to help him. There's a bunch of people in this movie. They're like, wow.
Where did you come from?
Yeah, why did you sign up for this? But I get it. It was a kind of a goofy, fun little crazy Nick Cage movie, and it works.
So you liked it?
I liked it a lot better than I liked the Unimpressibles.
It's a shame when our big movie of the week is just terrible.
It is what it's supposed to be.
But this is one, an action movie that you enjoyed far more than the unwatchables.
It literally had no right to, but it just is. And it's, I can't help it. I enjoyed this movie much more than I did.
And it's rated R?
It's got to
be.
Yeah, the violence is
when are we going to reach a point where we're not going to be able to buy that a 90-year-old dude can still kill like a 20-year-old hitman?
Well, it'll be after these big superstars are gone.
It'll be only after Nick Cage is gone, because we will believe that at any age that man is.
Even Stallone, who has very little to do with the irredeemable movie, he still beats up a couple dudes.
All right, so that is The Retirement Plan starring Nick Cage. They did not screen that for critics, and they released it almost without telling anybody.
It is like a silent release. It was like, don't tell anybody it's out. But it's out there. It's been out there a week. And I went and saw it yesterday with a handful of people, and they were laughing too. So,
all right. Well,
Retirement Plan.
So that's The Retirement Plan.
The KSL Movie Show. Telephone torture.
All right, here we go. It's that time on The Movie Show for Telephone Torture, sponsored by Megaplex Theaters. Our theme is a Jason Statham movie in honor of Expendables. And now Steve has come up with four questions. We're going to take four callers. And if you can answer the question correctly, you win a Megaplex prize pack. Steve, do we still have the three things to choose from? Or are we down to just to our regular? Because I know they've started the Megaplex movie reward.
I know they want to do the...
We can still do Taylor Swift?
I think Taylor Swift is still on the table.
So you can get two tickets to Taylor Swift.
Or you can get four tickets to the classic series.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I know that started, so I don't. Are they still doing that?
Yes, that's on the table.
So four tickets to the classic series, which will give you 10 movies, one each week
now
for 10
movies.
Weeks. Oh, is it down to 8 now?
Yeah, I think so.
8 movies for free for 2 people, plus popcorn and drinks.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, so Steve, Jason Statham movie 57500 is the number to text. If you think you know the answer, and if one of our callers does not get the correct answer, we will take the first correct answer.
Because Andy's questions were so mean.
Text. Oh, come on. All right. Well, okay. So here we go. Who's our first caller? Kent is back. Kent came so close last week, if this is the same Kent. Are you ready to win it this week, Kent?
All right, Kent. Here's the first question. Jason Statham plays a bishop in this action thriller sequel that was a remake of a Charles Bronson movie.
Oh, it's Mechanic.
Is it The Mechanic?
Is that your final answer, Kent?
Yes.
Is that correct, Gustavo?
He's not sure.
No, I'm not sure. It is not correct.
That is
Gustavo.
Not correct.
But Kent, oh my gosh.
Oh, you're not going to believe how close you
were. We almost had our first flawless victory.
Yeah, I know, and all these other questions are just for naught. But here,
but this is why it's called telephone torture.
I agree.
All right, who's our second caller? Oh.
Resurrection.
Whoa, I think,
Wait,
people
what?
Are ready for this one. Okay, first of all, who is this?
I was texting it.
Who's this?
This is Lindy.
Lindy. Okay, Lindy. And you haven't won in the last 30 days, right, Lindy?
Nope.
Have you heard her name mentioned, Lindy?
I don't know. Maybe.
No. Yeah, okay. I'm lucky.
Lucky Lindy.
Lucky Lindy. Okay, Lindy.
Do you want to hear the question, or you just want to fire off your supposed...
I'll fire it off. The Mechanic Resurrection.
Oh, well, I'm done.
Gustavo, is that correct?
I gave it to her.
Lucky Lindy. I told
you
the questions
I had a cool,
were too easy.
It was too easy. One of my questions was, in one of the assassination attempts, he must pool his extraordinary athletic skills to achieve his objective. Have you seen this movie?
No.
He drills a hole in the bottom of a glass cantilevered swimming pool.
Why didn't you start with that one?
Well, because I thought that was too easy.
Only if you've memorized the whole movie.
Ah, that's the part that I have a fear of heights, and I have a fear of heights in movies. And that one blew me away. I was just like, oh, don't do this.
So, Lindy.
Yeah.
How did you know that so quick?
The guy before gave it away.
Yeah.
Has there been only two mechanic movies?
Yeah.
Yeah, you said it was a remake. Not a remake.
It was a sequel.
See, she was paying attention.
She was.
And he said mechanic, and I knew the next one was The Resurrection.
Well, Lindy, congratulations for not only getting the question right, but for playing the game the right way. That's the whole trick to this. Listen to the questions, and listen if people get it wrong, because they might say the movie that you thought it was, and suddenly you benefit. So
here's my perfect
question. Okay, I want to hear all your questions.
Well, no, it's not that big
a deal.
It's
too late. No, don't.
In this tropical paradise, Jessica Alba is the lure, while Michelle Yeoh is the bait. Huh?
That and Steve throws his paper in frustration because of Lindy's smarts.
Lindy's way too smart for me.
Lindy, congratulations. Which Megaplex prize pack are you going to pick? Are you going to pick the traditional two movies, two popcorns, two tickets? Or are you going to go with Taylor Swift? Or are you going to go with the eight movies and two and popcorns for you each time, I think, right?
I think I'm going to go with the traditional.
Okay. The traditional. Well, congratulations. Yeah. And Lindy, since we have time, and since, because you got the answer so quick, there was a lot of people who are...
ticked off?
So let's... Can you take us out?
Did anybody get it online?
Oh, I'm sure they did. But it didn't matter because they got it on the phone.
Yeah, no way.
Actually, it took three. Somebody guessed Hitman, then somebody guessed Death Wish, and then somebody guessed Mechanics Resurrection. That might be a different movie.
No, Mechanic Resurrection.
No, Mechanics Resurrection. Oh. That's the one where a bunch of mechanics die in a crash, and then they come back to life and fix cars.
I'm sure they'll make that movie at some point.
By the way, I do accept royalties on that since I just threw that idea out there. All right, Lindy, well, take us out. You know how to finish
well
up
done.
Telephone torture.
Yes, play the chairman of the board for me.
Boy, Lindy, you're getting no Christmas card from me. By the way, it's a dumb movie, but that scene.
With the pool?
Oh, it's way cool. See, the idea was he has to kill three people. He's out of the business, but he has to kill three people, but it has to look like an accident. And if it doesn't, then the person that he's trying to protect gets killed.
Ooh.
See?
So there's puzzles and layers and
yeah,
a lot of complications. Okay, well, you know, I've liked everything I've seen Jason Statham in. Thankfully, I've never seen The Meg or The Meg 2, so I can still say this. But that's one I may have to check out, Mechanic and Mechanic Resurrection. Well, congrats, and unfortunately, sorry to those of you who are next in line that already knew the answer. But hey, that's why they call it telephone torture.
Yeah, I should have never led with that first question.
You know, Steve, we were talking about FanX last hour, and there was a couple thoughts that I had that I wanted to finish up on that. In part was... you know,
it's not just for nerds.
It's not just for nerds, and what it means to different people, and that's why when people who are like consider themselves like regular people, because that's how you consider yourself. Everyone, first of all, considers himself regular generally, but what I found, I thought there'd be a hilarious political cartoon or like a editorial cartoon in the newspaper, and it would have the tracks train, and it's got a dude in full face paint and a like a U of U jersey. And with, you know, signs that they're going to hold up at the game, sitting on the tracks train. And on the other seat, on the other side of the tracks train, somebody dressed as Batman and somebody dressed as Wonder Woman. And both of them looking at each other saying the same thing, weirdo.
Wait, this is a real thing?
No, I just think that would be a great cartoon because
you know where,
they're going past the Salt Palace. The tracks train is going past the Salt Palace up to the U. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's, I believe, and since Tim hogged in his point of view on Utah's Morning News, I'm hogging the other point of view here on the movie show, that fandom is fandom, whether it's sports fandom, whether it's fans of movies or TV shows, or if the movie show, if you want to dress up as Steve or Andy for Halloween, send us a picture. We would love it.
Good luck.
We might even find you, get you a prize for that. But
so, you know, when I really realized it was like serious, I met the guy that shows up at these FanX things. He's like 6'8", and he does Spock. And he was there 1 year, and his booth was there, and he was kind of hanging out. And it's obvious from his facial features that he's Spock, but his costume didn't make the flight.
Oh, no.
So he was waiting. And so when I talked to him, he said, normally I would do the Spock persona, but since I don't have the uniform, I can't. I go, well, just like maybe it's Spock's day off and he's in a tracksuit. I mean,
and have some fun with it.
And he said, no, this is how reverent he was to the Spock character. If I'm not in costume, I'm not doing that.
Wow. But that's the thing. So for some of these people, and like the clip we played with Charlie Hunnam, where he talks about what it's like when the people meet him and what their work means to people.
Oh, when somebody says, my dad and I passed away, watched it together, that would just tear my heart out.
And that's what it's like for so many people. This is a place, and this is what FanX is. It's a place where you can go, and maybe you felt like that. Maybe you were the kid in high school because you didn't play on the sports teams, but you liked these other things.
Right.
First of all, it's nice to see that now this is spread down into the high schools to where there's not that sort of, you know, ridicule or same thing. Because guess what? The star quarterback on the football team goes to every Avengers movie, right? Like that. It's widely universal. And so I'm just a big fan of idea of a place where everybody can go and have a good time. And I tell you what, if you've never been to FanX, and you go, you are going to be blown away by the level of detail and how well they make some of these costumes that the people come in.
And
so
to me,
amazing.
The joy on their faces when they get to hang out with other people that feel the
yeah.
same way.
And that's what's great about it. So that's the main thing. Just look, you don't have to like it. It doesn't have to be your cup of tea. But don't mock and ridicule the people because that one is theirs. That's basically what I'm saying. So this soapbox rant on FanX is... No, but that's how I feel about FanX. So hopefully somebody will come. I'm moderating a panel tonight at 5 o'clock in the Grand Ballroom if you do have FanX tickets. I'm also doing one tomorrow at 1 o'clock with the cast of Smallville.
Yeah, thanks a lot, by the way. I have to go see Paw Patrol by myself.
I know.
Leave no
My
man behind.
My son is, by the way, heartbroken that I'm not going to go see Paw Patrol.
You know what?
Him.
I should take your kid.
And
Which
to
one?
Top that off, there will be a panel of people from KSL News Radio doing a panel where we talk about fandom and stuff like that. Me and Don Brinkerhoff and Kellyanne and we. So there's plenty to do and plenty to see.
Apparently I didn't get my invitation.
No. Well, get some FanX tickets. Oh.
The Movie Show. It is not a donut hole, but a smaller donut with its own hole. And our donut is not a hole at all. On KSL News Radio.
All right. It is the final segment of the KSL Movie Show. It is a segment we like to call Rapid Fire, where Steve and I go over everything quickly that we've talked about on today's show in case you missed it earlier. We invite you, though, if you did miss some of the show, to listen to the podcast version on KSLpodcasts.com, KSLnewsradio.com, or on Spotify. We're even on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Anywhere you get a podcast, you can find the KSL Movie Show. Hmm. And I have actually been listening to it as I do my 30-minute walks every day now.
Aww.
Listening to us, you know, so I can try to make us, I can hear how I sound everybody, but
Why
it's
would
a
you
great.
You want to listen to that again?
Because then I can hear how I can do better. So here we go. Movie shows, rapid fire. Steve, our big movie of the week, based on probably dollars, is Expendables 4 or Expend 4 Bowls. You saw it. I did not.
Unmentionables, best movie of the year.
That was
said no one ever.
Said no one ever. Okay, so Expendables 4, not good. But you laughed, but not in the way that they probably intended you to
laugh. I laughed, and I kind of appreciated the fact that these guys are sold, and they're still out there swinging away.
Okay. Spy Kids Armageddon on Netflix. I enjoyed this.
Yep.
My kids loved it. It's safe for everybody. Good group of new actors to be in the Spy Kids franchise. You won't regret watching it.
Yeah, it's a reboot. So basically, adios to the old gang. And because they're
Antonio
all older
Banderas
now.
Is Antonio, gone, and yeah. Zachary Levi's in.
Yeah.
All right, then we've got The Retirement Plan.
It's Nicolas Cage with a weird wig. Come on. And he beats up dudes like he's Rambo's daddy.
So this is Steve's pick of the week.
No, but it's it's up there. I have to admit, Nick, whatever you're doing these days, keep doing it.
It Lives Inside.
Well, from a, you know, from a ethnic and, you know, a cultural standpoint, somebody's else idea of demons is interesting. Where this goes, I did not care for, you know, their resolution. But it was still an interesting movie, although, you know, a lot of jump scares, C+.
And it's rated?
It is rated PG-13.
Yeah, I forgot. We should say the ratings. Expendables 4 is rated R. Spy Kids Armageddon is PG. The Retirement Plan is R. And It Lives Inside is PG-13, you said?
Yes.
I was gonna say, it doesn't sound like it's a PG. And then Dumb Money.
Dumb Money would be my pick of the week if it the language wasn't so harsh and the raw music it was too much for me. It just didn't. It jarred me in a great movie.
It's a fascinating watch as far as what's going on. It's very interesting to see the dynamic where money comes into play, and especially big money. And so I enjoyed it, except for, again, a similar thing with the language. I wish there was more people that I know that like this kind of thing that I could recommend it to,
it's because of the language. It's for those people.
My friends that like things that I like, but they're sensitive to language and stuff like that, because it really was. It's got a lot of potty words in it. So on streaming, we have The Continental on Peacock. I got to see that. You didn't. It's from the world of John Wick, but it is about the character played by Ian McShane, Winston Scott. It is about him before he has taken ownership of the Continental. In this time period, it is owned by Mel Gibson's crime kingpin. It's long. Each episode's an hour and a half, and so you only get one per week. So it's essentially three movies called The Continental.
Still Up is an Apple TV 8-part series, and it's only half an hour each episode.
Yes.
And it's very comedic. It is about two insomniacs who are best friends, and they stay up all night chit-chatting. And episode number 4 is going to be for our friends at Sound Sleep Medical, when they actually
go to a sleep lab.
It's hilarious.
Okay, we've got The Saint of Second Chances. We didn't get a chance to talk about that earlier. It's a Netflix movie about Bill Veeck's son. Bill Veeck's the famous guy who invited the short person to take an at-bat in the 40s or whatever. His son is responsible for the infamous promotion of Disco Demolition Night at the Chicago White Sox.
Come hate your disco,
And how long it took for him to recover from that, because it went so poorly. But it's more than that. It's about him and his relationship with his dad and his daughter, and I thought it was really good.
I agree. I teared up as well.
And then The Supermodels on Apple TV Plus.
They're beautiful people, and now they're older, and they're reflecting back on that era when they were just absolute the rage.
Okay, that's actually rated TVMA, believe it or not. I was surprised by that. And then finally, the movie that was the worst thing we watched this week, No One Will Save You on Hulu. Caitlin Dever, who I love, and she does a great job valiantly with what is a absolutely confusing mess of a plot. I'm sure that she went through this and was like, I'm just going to do what the director tells me, because I don't know what's going on.
I didn't hate it that much. I loved 90% of this movie.
You did?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, she kept getting lucky when she shouldn't have, but that last 10 minutes, complete disaster.
Oh, so much, to the point where I watched it twice.
I don't even know what the whole point of it was.
I don't even know if she's dead or alive, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't know. And that's not a good way to finish your movie. This is not Inception-level stuff where you're going to argue about the ending. You're just going to be like, nope, I'm done.
And it's PG-13, but, you know, I thought the alien stuff, those guys were tough.
All right. Well, Steve, that is Rapid Fire. And next week, what's our big movie next week?
What is next week?
We have The Creator,
Paw Patrol, Saw X. Ugh.
Just you wait when we talk about Saw Patrol, the new double feature.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck with that. Those two.
That's next week on The Movie Show.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.